What on earth ever gave us the idea that Noah and his ark made a good story for children? And yet, somehow, we tell it to them early and often. It makes a deep impression, one they never forget. I still remember illustrated versions of this tale from my youth. Model arcs replete with figurines of Noah and his family and all those animals, two by two, nestled on board, safe from catastrophe, floating above it. My friends had these miniature arcs in their collections of toys, and Noah was our collective hero. What was missing from the scenes we played out, of course, were the floodwaters. They had already receded and a rainbow had appeared over the heads of Noah and the other survivors. That was the sunny conclusion we remembered most vividly from the children's version of that biblical account. The rainbow represented the covenant that the Creator God made with Noah in the book of Genesis, that God would never again destroy creature life in this world. The rainbow appears along with the first mention of covenant in the Hebrew scriptures, where covenant is a central religious concept throughout. Living in covenant, a faithful people hold to promise, both a promise made in the past and a promise offered to the future. Made in the image of this Creator God, the scriptures tell us, we continually make promises of our own. As Jewish theologian Martin Buber has observed, we human beings are promise-making, promise-keeping, promise-breaking, and promise-restoring creatures. The flood almost immediately becomes a source of regret for God because God soon recognizes that God had broken an implicit promise with creation itself. Certainly, creation had become a sore disappointment to God. It had become overrun by giants, Nihilim, the Hebrew scriptures call them, who were prone to such wickedness that God doubted whether any earthly life was salvageable. What could be saved, God concluded, was the one who was righteous in his generation, namely Noah. So Noah and his family were given very precise instructions to ensure their survival, and also very specific instructions about what to save, all those living things that ought to be kept alive, two by two, in anticipation of generations to come. After the flood, God enters into an explicit covenant with creation, invoking those later promises God makes to the chosen people, the blessings of evermore and continuous life. Life abundant. The rainbow serves as the emblem of that new promise that God puts into words, telling Noah, as long as the earth endures, sea time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. While those natural rhythms have not ceased, we notice that they are becoming increasingly irregular with sudden climate change and rapid global warming. Extreme weather events have had catastrophic effects on entire islands and countries. Rising global temperatures only make those likely to become more frequent, leading to the displacement of populations, the widespread failure of crops, the decimation of habitats, and so on. You know the litany, you've heard it. In recent years, I'm sure that several of you have noticed how our own local seasons have skewed. If we do not stop our current rates of pollution and consumption in America, we will be poised on the brink of an environmental cataclysm within a decade. This is a point in human history when we need to stop and consider what can and should be saved. We are confronted with our own obligations to creation. And so, what will we promise today? A recent voyage over rough waters brought such a crucial question home to our shores when teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg arrived in New York Harbor. She was in the city in advance of the 2019 United Nations Climate Action Summit, but sailed there from Sweden, since Greta refuses air travel because of its environmental consequences. She took a high-speed, carbon-neutral sailboat on her transatlantic trip. And though she arrived somewhat behind schedule, she landed in time to participate in the climate strike that youth led worldwide this past Friday, in a mass action that involved millions and millions of people worldwide, made international headlines, and captured the attention of enormous audiences. She traveled to these shores, our shores, across seas that are rapidly rising, and she will not let any of us forget that fact. If you have seen or heard Greta speak or read any of the collected speeches contained in her book, No One Is Too Small to Make a Difference, you know her communications are quite blunt and also deeply affecting. She claims that her being on the autism spectrum is what makes it impossible for her to soft pedal her sense of urgency around the climate crisis, and her panic at the lack of coordinated efforts, a panic that I know many of you here in this sanctuary share. There are no gray areas when it comes to survival, Greta declares. Either we go on as a civilization or we don't. She has concluded we cannot save the world by playing by the rules because the rules have to be changed. Everything needs to change, and it has to start today. Greta entered the global arena just last year, and at the tender age of 15, when she began going on strike from her high school and sitting in front of the Swedish parliament to protest continued governmental inaction around the climate crisis. This launched the now global Fridays for Future student movement. Greta has spoken on major stages and very recently before the US Congress. In recognition of her advocacy, she was awarded an Ambassador of Conscience Award by Amnesty International and nominated for a Nobel Prize. She will remain a vocal proponent of what she calls transformative climate action through the coming climate week. You say you love your children above all else, and yet you are stealing their future in front of their very eyes. Until you start focusing on what needs to be done rather than what is politically possible, there is no hope, Greta tells her audiences. We can't solve a crisis without treating it as a crisis. We have come here to let you know that change is coming whether you like it or not. The real power belongs to the people. The people, Greta suggests, are indeed promise-making, promise-breaking, promise-keeping, and promise-restoring creatures. Surely we must enter into a new kind of covenant with creation. If we will have the wisdom to survive, if we will make our seasons welcome here, asking not too much of earth or heaven, poet, farmer, and conservationist Wendell Berry writes, then the lives our lives prepare will live here. Although likely in a very different way than we do now, the lay leader I share this chancel with this morning, this kind and gentle, determined, and tireless soul you see before you, has, since my arrival here at UU Wellesley Hills, been asking me what I plan to do for us to mobilize in response to the current climate crisis. She keeps asking me. Because, much to her consternation, and also now mine, I have not formulated much of one. I have only harbored this stubborn belief that we can somehow find the wisdom to survive together. In honor of this climate week, we will be launching our own Rainbow Project in this congregation. During fellowship hour, we will ask people to write on brightly colored ribbons something they love and fear losing to climate change or lament having already lost. It will give us all a chance to share our concerns and sorrow with one another. Then we will ask people to reflect on those sorrows and concerns that have been written and to choose to sign on to those ribbons that declare a particular threat or cost they themselves are willing to combat or offset, either through legislative advocacy, direct action, or financial support, working for local zoning reform, say, or lobbying for the new Green Deal at a national level. Everything counts, Greta told audiences. What you do counts. As she said repeatedly, you are never too small to make a difference. So while we can be savvy in working for large-scale systemic changes, we can also make personal commitments to changing our own behavior, and should, as a matter of us remaining a faithful people. Consider this a basic spiritual discipline in your religious life. You may stop eating meat altogether, for instance, or drinking no more bottled water ever. You may avoid any unnecessary air travel. You may be a leader for a group that plants trees. You may start to rely on mass transit for your commute. In time, larger alterations will be required of all of us. Soon, it will no longer be enough for us to have a church that is a green sanctuary, as this one proudly is, or to drive fuel-efficient cars. We will need to make major sacrifices for the sake of the future. Greta explains that those who have the largest carbon footprint also have the largest obligation to see that changes occur as fast as possible. Make no mistake, everyone here has a large carbon footprint, myself included. Honestly, it seems outrageous to me that I can get in my own automobile with its combustible engine burning fossil fuels and drive it anytime I like, for as long as I like, whenever I like, just because I live in the suburbs now. I live like a giant in an area populated by other giants. I regularly get on the road and get caught in traffic with other people doing exactly the same thing. When I can see, plain as day, even if I am driving at night, plain as day, that this is in no way environmentally sustainable, and also that there is nothing whatsoever to stop me. Nothing, that is, besides the almost entirely forgotten notion of covenant. Covenant asks us to keep promises that others will not make, or perhaps might make, but will almost certainly break. It is not a social contract to be endlessly renegotiated with others, whether those others include our immediate neighbors or foreign powers. Our covenantal promises are our own to keep. Let us covenant with one another to keep faith with the source of life, knowing that we are not our own earth made us, the Reverend Dr. Rebecca Ann Parker declared. Earth made us and earth sustains us and the rest of humanity along with all creature life. And we strain the source of life at our peril. Already species are going extinct at an alarming rate. Birds in North America are disappearing by the millions, headlines tell us. Our reliance on fossil fuel needs to end, and we need to fast track the development of natural energy resources. If we do not take our cues from environmentalists like Greta and start boarding those carbon-neutral sailboats, if we do not start taking radical measures soon, we might be faced with a dreaded prospect of building arcs to no one's specifications, with nary a rainbow in sight, under the threat of children, our children and others' children's, being left adrift. Several of you participated in the climate strike this past Friday. Some may yet participate in the one planned this coming Friday. And as important as it is to march and protest, it's more important to become part of this global movement to save our planet. Last week, a dear friend of mine called into his daughter's school so he could take both of them into the Boston climate strike. I texted him to tell the girls how proud I was of the two of them. But now I see that I sent the wrong message. Instead, I should have told them that their witness, their calling all of us to account for their futures, was humbling, chastening, inspiring, and mobilizing each in turn. I should have told them how grateful I was to them and Greta and those in their generation whose heightened sense of urgency is our clarion call to immediate action. They want us to enter faithfully into a new covenant with creation and with them. For years, I thought that children were captivated by Noah and his ark because they themselves were so newly launched into life, and matters of life and death still seemed so stark to them. I think differently about that ancient story now. Regarding our climate crisis, Greta has said, "The main solution is so simple that even a small child could understand." We must make promises that bind us more tightly to the future and to one another. Children never forget whether we have kept the promises we made or broken them. Nor should they. Nor should we. My prayer today is that we become people who make big promises, enormous promises, and then figure out a way to grow into them. Called always into greater love for all of God's children and creation itself. Please rise in body and spirit and join me in singing our closing hymn this morning, number 6 in your gray hymnal, just as long as I have breath, number 6 in your gray hymnal.